Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Tarkan Dozer.
I was born and raised in Istanbul, Turkey. It's a big city. When I was 29, I immigrated to the United States to Chicago, which is also another big city. My experience with big cities, I can say that I had enough of it. So when I came down to Florida in 2006, I really loved this nature. And a friend of mine mentioned the beauty and the natural environment, almost untouched environment in Everglades, specifically Shark Valley. So I decided to make a small research and go to Shark Valley and see what all those sharks are about. And then I hop into my car, went to Shark Valley. It's about 36 miles west of Miami. And I specifically went there intentionally alone because I wanted to witness the silence and the quietness of the nature without anybody in between or any other distraction. Not for a good or bad purpose, but for the sake of experience, to get the most of Shark Valley. And once I arrived, got my ticket and parked my car, and I was hoping to see some shark signs. So I thought I was going to see some sharks, maybe some huge tank that sharks inside. But I realized there was no sharks there. And I was just kind of, you know, surprised. Oh, okay, there are no sharks, but let's see what we have. And then the adventure started for me. And read the history of Shark Valley and realized it was actually built in 1946 by an oil drilling company. It's a 15-mile loop that the company who drilled the wells, they realized that it wasn't viable. So they just kind of canceled the drilling, and then it became just a part of the Everglades park system. So after I just read that brief history of the Shark Valley, I just decided to take a tram ride. There were also concessionaires there renting bikes, but I decided to take a tram ride, which is 2.5 hours. I just hopped in the tram and the guide started to explain what the things were all about. This is the first time I saw alligators up close. It was almost like 3 feet from me. And I felt safe, of course. I was in a tram and everything. And there were small baby alligators and their moms around. And birds about 3-4 feet away. I thought that the birds would be scared to death to be around the alligators. And we reached a tower. It's right actually in the middle of this loop. And we just got out of the tram and we climbed the tower, and you could see as far as you can see. You're pretty much in the middle of Everglades. The quietness of the environment really affected me. And I realized, hey, this is, I guess, the heart of the Everglades, because this is as far as you can go if you don't want to hike, you know. And you know. So looking down there and see those alligators and the birds, and I realized, hey, these are beautiful. Actually, it relaxed me. That was the first time that I've ever been so far away from the main road. You can't hear cars. Nothing. It's just nature, birds and small splashes. It was so effectively preserved, and I really admired that. We're lucky in 1946, this oil company could have just said, hey, yeah, this is a viable space. I want to drill more and extract some more oil. Things like that. It was very, very calming experience for me. And it was about a 15-minute visit to the tower. Then I walked downstairs and got on the tram and continued going back to where we started. The experience was intense because I felt like I was not in Florida, because that part of experience was never there for me, because regardless of where you go, it's always you are close to civilization. And at the end, of the day, it's a 2.5 hour day. It was pretty hot, and we pretty much went back to the point at where we started the tram ride, and we got out, and I walked around a little bit, and then I got into my car and went back home.
Tarkin Dozer with a very good impression of the Everglades.
Yes, he certainly came away with one, and he almost didn't. Somebody who hears the name Shark Valley and is all set to see sharks and then finds out after making the trip down that there are no sharks might have said, I want my money back. I want a refund. I'll never come here again. Truth in advertising. But he said instead, I wonder what is here. And then the adventure began. And so that is such an optimistic view of a situation in which you were at first very disappointed.
Why wasn't it called Alligator Valley?
You sound more annoyed than Tarkin did.
And I didn't know that the loop out in Shark Valley was put in by an oil company.
Me neither. So we get some history, we get some geography, we get some biology in this story, and we get a fine piece of storytelling as well.
And I'm certainly glad that Tarkin found the piece to be found in the Everglades.
Absolutely. And he certainly deserved it after living in those big cities. I think he expresses that piece in three really strong ways. First, he uses his description, his visual description, and that is the way most of us tell stories. We are a very visually oriented culture, so most of us describe what we see. He also used his sense of touch. He said how hot it was. And he also used the sense of hearing. He heard the splashes of the alligators. He heard the trees, presumably in the wind and different things like that. And so he really presented a panorama of his experience using three of his senses.
He did say a line that stood out for me, how that the Everglades did not remind him of Florida.
Yes, and that's the one small thing I take exception with in this story, because I would say perhaps it doesn't remind him of a lot of South Florida. Many people who come down here only see strip malls or they only see cities. And many people don't realize that not only is there the Everglades, but particularly in Central Florida, Northern Florida, and aspects of Western Florida as well, there are all kinds of other experiences to be had where you are away from the sound of cars and away from the smells and sights of civilization. I will say, though, I have no idea if you are 7 miles away from them, but I would suspect there are places where you are. But Tarkin can be excused for that because it is a very common perception that Florida is mostly densely populated, and it is not the case.
Tarkin mentioned he was from Turkey. He told a pretty good story, being that English is not his native language.
Yes, and I have to say, whenever I hear somebody tell a story for whom English is not their native language, I am so impressed because I have studied several languages and never could I do what people do who have learned English in other places. I will also say that the vocabulary, I have found this time and again, the vocabulary of non-native speakers is often so extraordinary. Do you know a lot of people who would say the bicycle concessionaire?
No.
I mean, that's a vocabulary word that I think maybe a lot of people understand, but not necessarily people would just use telling a story off the top of their heads. And I think that people who are non-native speakers often don't give themselves enough credit for how well they do speak the language. There are certainly plenty of native speakers, myself included, who do not speak the language perfectly every moment of our lives. My hat is off to Tarkin for doing such a beautiful job.
Well, we'd like to hear more stories from our South Florida listeners. If our listeners do have a story to share, how can they get in touch with you, Karen?
Yes, even if English is your first language, please let us know that you want to tell a story. You can email me at cneal, that's C, N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E at FAU.edu.
Or our website has good contact information as well as archived stories at WLRN.org. Click Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.